Amen. Well, Lord, we pray that your word would be a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. Hide it in our heart that we may not sin against you. Amen. All right. With our confession and the gospel reading and kind of going along with what I talked about today. Just had a conversation earlier and just about the word repentance, you know, what that's supposed to look like. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7, this is Paul speaking to them. Therefore, having these promises, where God said, come out from amongst them, and I'm going to live within you, and to come out from amongst them, you know, and walk with me, I'm not going to live you, and don't touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be sons and daughters to me. Therefore, having these great promises that God is now coming to live within us, right? And having these great promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I'm going to jump down. For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh, our physical bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted in every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he comforted in you, and reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal, so that I rejoice even more. For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I regret it, for I see that the letter caused you sorrow, but only for a little while. But now I rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world just produces death. Great word here about what true repentance is supposed to produce in us, right? It's not about just feeling sorry for what I've done, you know. But it's there's a difference between, and I talk about this all the time, between a godly sorrow that he puts on us and false guilt. You know, we don't want to walk around with a false sense of guilt, and I'm going to read some scripture here in a second. But the sorrow that's from God is supposed to produce something in us with no regret. Like, oh, I'm regretting that I repented of that. I really, you know, gosh, I wish I hadn't have done that. I really want to go back to this. There's not true repentance, you know. It's supposed to produce in us, and I love how he said this here, so that you might not suffer loss. Suffer loss in everything that Jesus did for you and everything he has for you, that you're not suffering loss in this, you know. This repentance is to produce something that is a great gain in us. And so we don't really understand the word if we, we're just saying the word and continually going back and falling. I'm not talking about areas of our lives where we struggle. But if we have a repentant heart in that area, you know, where we're just crying out to the Lord to set us free. There's just this grace of God, which we'll talk about, that just reigns in our life, you know. And so that word is kind of thrown around, but a godly repentance, a godly sorrow is supposed to produce in us life, right? And produce in us a real repentance. You'll know, here's how you know whether you've really repented. Do you really not want to go back to that, right? Like, it could be, I'm not talking about just doing stuff. I'm talking about attitudes. You know, I don't ever want to go back to that attitude. Like, say, I know we've all had to repent of unforgiveness at times, right? And what it does to you, you know? Like, I always say this, you've heard this before too, that, you know, unforgiveness is a poison we drink, thinking that it affects somebody else. It's really damaging to us. But y'all know what I'm talking about? Anything where you just really repent, experience the presence of God, and you don't ever want to go back to that attitude or that thing again. That was just, you were suffering loss and it was stealing life from you, right? But there's a real godly sorrow that's from God. That's not false guilt, right? He doesn't want you going around beating up yourself, but one that produces repentance, you know? And usually if we're carrying something around with us all the time, it never kind of leaves us. Sometimes it is false. It's just, you know, condemnation resulted. That's just the way the enemy attacks us. Or evil communication is what I say sometimes, where the evil one is just speaking those kind of words to us, and you just, it's kind of consuming your mind. Have you ever had those times where you're just kind of consumed with something and you're having a hard time shaking it, you know. It just kind of sticks with you all the time and just whispering to you. You know, that's from the enemy. But I wasn't going to talk about this. I was just thinking about these wonderful verses in Romans chapter 5 today. One of my favorite life verses. 5:17, "For by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. So then, as through one transgression there resulted in condemnation to all men, so through one act of righteousness there resulted in the justification of life to all men." So the one transgression, we know that's Adam, right? One, they're just condemnation and death came, you know, where there was a real condemnation there. But one act of righteousness, one act what Jesus did, there resulted in the justification of life. You know, I like how it puts life there. The justification of life, I heard this term used for justification one time, or these words, just as if I never sinned, right? And you're in Christ, this justification that leads to life. That's what justification does to you. It makes it where you and I can live, where there's no condemnation anymore, no condemnation in Christ Jesus, right? And then our standing with God, we were talking about this at our Bible study last night, that our standing with God is that we are at peace with God, right? Jesus himself in Ephesians chapter 2 said, Jesus is and became our peace, right? Not just giving us peace, but he is our peace. He is our peace with God, right? That was this peace thing that Jesus did, a pact. And all men, if you're in Christ, you are at peace with God. That's real important to get that in your soul, because it helps you in your relationship with him deal. We can hear him talk to us, right? If I know that I'm at peace with God, there's nothing between us because I'm in Christ, then I can hear him speak to me, right? When I start drifting away from that truth about being justified in Christ, then the noise, the clutter just becomes louder in me, doesn't it? And I'll read on, because this is such, "For through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, many will be made righteous in Christ." And we talk about that all the time. You're righteous standing with him, right, in Christ. And the law came in so that transgressions would increase, to show man that he really couldn't do it. "But where sin increased, then the grace abounded all the more. So as the sin reigned in death, even so, grace now would reign through righteousness," or meaning grace reigns now because of what Jesus did. His one righteous act, now the grace of God reigns in life, okay? And it's supposed to reign in our life. It's the reigning, the ruling thing of my life is the grace of God. And we talk about that around here all the time. It's not just getting something that you don't deserve, right? It's the activity, the acceptance of God, the activity of God, his ability, everything that Jesus did on the cross is the grace of God. It's supposed to be the reigning and the ruling thing of my life, right? I'll read that again. "So as through sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I love this verse too, over in Romans chapter 6. "For sin no longer shall be master over you, for you are not under law, but you are now under grace." And that word "under grace" means you are now under the dominion and the reigning and the ruling of the grace of God. Okay? Grace is, you know, when the evil communication starts coming my way, the grace of God is, God, I'm at peace with you. You know? There's nothing between us. When condemnation tries to come my way, now I'm in Christ. I'm justified, just as if I'd never sinned, right? That is my standing with the Lord. And so when I hear things that I've already been forgiven of, right, just ask yourself, is the grace of God reigning right now in my mind, in my life, right? She's okay. Don't worry about it. Mom's stressing out over there. Yeah, that's a part of life, right? The grace of God there. She's just being who she is, okay? Which is a good little picture, being who she is, right, as a child. She's not worried about anything. So the Lord was just reminding me of that, about where and every verb in here is a verb. Y'all have heard the aorist tense before. You know, the aorist tense is something that just happened in the past that had such a dynamic effect that it affected everything. Like one guy was explaining, it's hard to explain, put in words, but like if you got in a helicopter, you were at a fair, and you got in a helicopter and you went above and you could see the whole picture. You could see all of what Jesus did. That's kind of the aorist tense. So all of what he did is now becomes mine. So I've been asking myself a lot that even today, Craig, is grace reigning in your life right now? Is what Jesus did? Are you? Because it was something that I've had to take care of, and I was just getting consumed in my mind about it because it had to do with having to go talk to a person, and it probably could have been very, you know, it could not go well. Big misunderstanding, and it could have been just this big blow up, which I don't like that anyway. My personality is like, I like peace, you know. I don't like conflict. Some people I know actually enjoy conflict. They love getting in the middle of conflict. I hate it. And so it was consuming my thoughts, you know. And I was like, Lord, what is the deal? Why is my thoughts being consumed? Well, what am I really struggling with? Well, I'm struggling with just the fear of what could happen, you know, maybe the fear of this or the fear of that. And I thought, wait a minute, grace isn't reigning in my life right now, right? Jesus set me free from that. You know, we're good, God. There's nothing I'm doing or hadn't done or had, you know, I'm good. I'm at peace, right? Let grace reign in your life right now because, you know, I just needed to be cleansed from that. Just get it off my feet. And so that's the one cool thing about when we do confession every day. Confession just means to agree with God. It's a relationship thing. I'm just agreeing with you, God, you know, because this whatever attitude, it was just, you know, and through my giving into fear, I was grieving the Holy Spirit. And I wasn't being who I was. So just say, oh, yeah, God. And even last night we were in our Bible study. We're talking about the peace of God, and the Lord just kind of, his presence just kind of showed up, and just this peace just entered that room. Like I haven't experienced, you know, in a long time, just, and he was just giving us a physical representation of, hey guys, you're at peace with me. It's all good.